This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another show of Time Magazine. Today, I will read from the Time Magazine dated April 29th. I continue to read from the Time 100 list of the world's most influential people. Today's episode starts with the leaders in this Time 100 list, and we start with Yulia Navalnaya. Yulia Navalnaya, the voice of Russian opposition, by Kamala Harris. This February, I spoke at the Munich Security Conference about the Biden-Harris administration's commitment to stand for democratic values and against authoritarianism. Moments later, in an unplanned appearance, Yulia Navalnaya took the stage, and she immediately captivated the hundreds of leaders there, myself included. Navalnaya addressed the news that had just broken hours before that her husband, Alexei Navalny, the Russian opposition leader, had died. With great courage, Navalnaya denounced the lies and cruelty of the Russian government. She wondered out loud if she would have remained in Munich after she heard the news. "What would Alexei have done in my place?" she asked. "He would be on this stage." We met later that day and spoke about her children and how her family was contemplating the fate not just of her husband, but also of his cause. To the benefit of the people around the world, Yulia Navalnaya has now assumed her own leadership role on the world stage. Navalnaya has vowed to continue her husband's fight for justice and the rule of law, giving renewed hope to those working against corruption and for a free, democratic Russia. And in doing so, she demonstrates exceptional selflessness and strength. Since that day in Munich, Navalnaya has emerged not only as a symbol of democratic values, but as a courageous fighter for them. The United States stands with her and all those fighting for freedom and democracy. This article about Yulia Navalnaya was written by Kamala Harris, who is a Democrat and the Vice President of the United States of America. Next is Ajay Banga, Steering the World Bank, written by Janet Yellen. It's not easy to find a leader with the skill and drive to take on the monumental task of transforming an essential institution, but since becoming World Bank president last June, Ajay Banga has done just that. Ajay comes to the World Bank after leading a global organization through which he brought millions of unbanked people into the digital economy. At the World Bank, Ajay set forth a new vision to create a world free of poverty on a livable planet and moved boldly to make good on it. From pioneering innovative financial tools to reimagining partnerships across the multilateral development banks and with the private sector, his sharp wit consistently enables him to cut through the noise. With unprecedented challenges such as climate change threatening our collective future, I cannot imagine a better partner with whom to take decisive action on behalf of the people around the world. This write-up about Ajay Banga from the World Bank was written by Janet Yellen. Yellen is the U.S. Treasury Secretary. Moving on with Jack Smith, Special Prosecutor, by Neil Katyal. Jack Smith is rarely seen in public, special counsel overseeing two different prosecutions of former President Donald Trump, one for allegedly mishandling national security information, another for his actions surrounding the 2020 election. Until a year ago, prosecuting a former president wasn't a thing, but Smith, along with Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg and Fulton County, Georgia DA Fannie Willis, has made it so. Attorney General Merrick Garland technically oversees Smith, but Smith has day-to-day independence under the special counsel regulation. He has been dealt a difficult hand. Strict time constraints, a tough judge, an unending wave of attacks from Trump, and intense public pressure. But as a man who built his career prosecuting powerful public officials accused of major crimes, he is better equipped for this than most. Time and again, he has met the challenges with an aggressive and decisive approach befitting his position. Neil Katyal, who has written this write-up about Jack Smith, is former acting U.S. Solicitor General, drafted the special counsel regulation in 1999. Moving on, we have Giorgia Meloni, Europe's Rising Power, a write-up about Georgia written by Yasmin Sarhan. When Giorgia Meloni rose to power in Italy in 2022, becoming the country's first female leader, many observers harbored fears about her far-right party and the impact it would have on Europe and the world. But 2 years on, she remains popular not only in Italy, where she enjoys a 41% approval rating despite feeble economic growth, but most among Western leaders, many of whom have been cheered by her steadfast support for Ukraine, and in particular, her ability to persuade leaders like Hungary's Viktor Orban to back European funding to Kiev. Meloni hasn't abandoned her right-wing politics completely. At home, her government has pursued policies that critics say quietly erode LGBTQ plus rights. At the EU level, she has been credited as a driving force behind the bloc's approach to immigration, one that involves paying countries such as Egypt and Tunisia to keep would-be migrants from setting off. Should Europe's right-wing bloc expand following the European Parliament election in June, as polls project it will, Meloni may emerge as its natural figurehead. Giorgia Meloni, Europe's Rising Power, written by Yasmin Serhan. Serhan is a Times staff writer. We next move on to William Ruto, making his mark. Kenyan President William Ruto has emerged as a key voice of Africa's climate ambitions, hosting a summit in Nairobi last September that drew leaders from around the globe. The event concluded with a unanimous agreement from African countries in attendance to rapidly expand renewable energy over the next decade, aided by $23 billion in pledges to catalyze the continent's climate goals. His call for lenders to relieve the debt burden faced by some African countries, thus opening the door to spending on climate solutions, has also made waves. But Ruto's new prominence on the international stage comes amid significant challenges in Kenya, including last summer's protests against the rising cost of living and a gas tax increase. Ruto spearheaded, as well as this January's demonstrations against allegations of judicial interference. To continue to make progress abroad, Ruto will need to manage challenges at home too. This article about William Ruto was written by Justin Warland, who is a senior Time magazine correspondent. Diana Salazar Mendez, anti-corruption crusader. Diana Salazar Mendez, the youngest person at 42 years and the first black woman to serve as Ecuador's top law enforcement official, has one of the hardest and the most dangerous jobs in the Western Hemisphere. While she has pursued challenging cases before, not every prosecutor can say they have successfully secured convictions of a top football executive and a former president. Ecuador's Attorney General is now spearheading the effort to prevent violent and well-connected drug traffickers from ruining her beloved country. As she prosecutes embedded webs of powerful political, judicial, police, and economic players, Allied with the drug traffickers, she and her family have been subjected to a stream of threats rendered credible by gangs that have a history of targeting with guns those who have targeted them with the law. In a country where trust in institutions has been low, Salazar has earned the respect and support of a population desperate for calm and safety. As she puts it, it's time to tell all of Ecuador that justice will not kneel down. Diana Salazar Mendez, Anti-Corruption Crusader, article written by Samantha Power. Power is the U.S. Agency for International Development Administrator. Next on this list of leaders is Rena Lee, Safeguarding the Seas by Sylvia Earle. Imagine navigating negotiations for a legal framework governing human activity over and under about half of the world. That has been the challenge facing Rena Lee, Singapore's ambassador for oceans and law of the sea issues and the president of a UN intergovernmental conference on marine biodiversity. During 5 years of turbulent discussions over efforts to safeguard life in the high seas, with calm dignity, determination, and grace, Lee successfully led deliberations to legally protect biodiversity within the blue heart of the planet, the cornerstone of Earth's life support system. Thunderous applause and cheers erupted from those attending the historic meeting last spring, when after nearly 40 hours of nonstop wrangling, Lee announced, "The ship has reached the shore." We all should applaud her heroic moves, breaking decades of deadlock over governance of human actions that impact not just the future of tunas, sharks, squids, and whales, but that of all of the life on the earth, humans included. This article about Rena Lee was written by Sylvia Earle, who is an oceanographer and the president and chair of Mission Blue. Next on the list is Mohammed bin Abdul Rahman Al Thani, ceasefire negotiator by Carl Vick. The kingdoms of the Persian Gulf prosper by providing the world oil and gas, and the resulting fortunes fuels desires for prestige. Tiny Qatar, by hosting the 2022 World Cup, showed just how much attention that can bring. A year later, it earned a more sober prominence, emerging as trusted interlocutor between Israel and Hamas. Mohammed bin Abdul Rahman bin Jasmin Al Thani, in his dual role as prime minister and foreign minister, has ridden point of the turbulent negotiations that so far have produced a week-long ceasefire and release of more than 100 hostages. In Qatar, host to both a massive U.S. airbase and a Taliban office, balancing acts are a court tradition. And even before October 7th, the 43-year-old premier had impressed U.S. officials as go-between in other troubled spots, including in South America. But in the Middle East, he says everyone, unfortunately, is dancing at the edge. Mohammed bin Abdul Rahman Al Thani was introduced in this list by Carl Vick. Vick is a Time magazine editor at large. Next on the list is Jigar Shah, fueling clean energy. Relentlessly optimistic, pioneering, and passionate, Jigar Shah has dedicated his life to unlocking the entrepreneurial opportunity that lies in a clean energy transition. And as director of the U.S. Department of Energy's Loan Programs Office, he's demonstrating how this truly is one of the greatest opportunities of our time. overseeing more than $200 billion in government loans to bring energy innovation to the market, Jigar leads one of the largest economic development programs the world has ever seen. His work may well usher in an unprecedented era of green and clean prosperity and, of course, new jobs. With drive and vision, he started his career with the launch of Sun Edition in 2003, which brought previously unseen investments to the solar market. Other successful ventures like Generate Capital soon followed. When Virgin Unite, our foundation, joined a group of like-minded entrepreneurs to set up the Carbon War Room in 2009, Jigar became the first CEO of this new and exciting initiative to leverage market-based models for climate action. His legacy lives on as Climate War Room, as Carbon War Room emerged with energy. His legacy lives on as the Carbon War Room merged with energy nonprofit RMI to become an unstoppable force. There is no doubt that when future generations write the history of the world's clean energy revolution, Jigar Shah will be hailed as one of its key architects. The article about Jigar Shah was written by Richard Branson, who is the founder of the Virgin Group. Ferdinand Bongbong Marcos, Reshaping Name and Nation by Charlie Campbell. For Ferdinand Bongbong Marcos to make history, he first needed to rewrite his nations. His dictator father plundered billions of dollars from state coffers and stood accused of grievous human rights violation until his ouster in 1986. Bongbong's rise to the Philippine presidency in 2022 was owed to whitewashing this family legacy through clever manipulation of social media. Yet, Bongbong's desire to rehabilitate the Marcos name and has resulted in other shifts. He brought technocrats back into the government, steadied the post-pandemic economy, and elevated the Philippines on the world stage. Bongbong has stood steadfast against Chinese aggression in the disputed South China Sea and bolstered his nation's alliance with the U.S. in the face of rising tensions in our region and the world. As he said last May, many problems persist, including high extrajudicial killings and journalists routinely attacked. But by trying to repair his family name, Bongbong has reshaped his country too. Ferdinand Bongbong Marcos, the article on him was written by Charlie Campbell, who is a Time magazine correspondent. Moving on, we have Andrea Yermak, Consequential Dealmaker. The defining early footage from Russia's barbaric invasion of Ukraine is a grainy self-shot video from President Volodymyr Zelensky on the streets of Kiev. The message from Zelensky, flanked by his team, was clear. Ukraine's leadership is not going anywhere. Standing directly behind him that night was his towering advisor, Andriy Yermak, a man who has been central in keeping the government running. Since the full-scale invasion, he has carried Zelensky's message to the world, building a strong network of friends of Ukraine from the West to the global South, uniting them around issues that sanctions to the environment. I have witnessed this firsthand during our work on security guarantees for Ukraine, which has led to a web of bilateral agreements with allies. Our work now focuses on bringing Ukraine into NATO and the EU. In the Great Moment, the Ukrainian poet Ivan Franko wrote, "Let every one of you be ready for the great moment. Each of us can be the decisive leader when the consequential moment comes." At the great moment for Ukraine and for democracy, Andriy Yermak not only serves a decisive leader, but he has proved himself to be one as well. This was about Andriy Yermak, written by Anders Fogh Rasmussen. Rasmussen, a former NATO Secretary General, is the founding chairman of Rasmussen Global. Moving on, we have Lauren Blauvelt, Getting Out the Vote, by Rebecca Gompertz. The executive branch is not doing what's needed to protect abortion rights in the U.S., so mobilizing a crowd is an essential strategy to stop the resulting injustice. It takes enormous commitment and energy to make a citizen ballot initiative like Issue 1 in Ohio, which enshrined the right to an abortion in the state constitution, a success. As the co-chair of Ohioans United for the Reproductive Rights, Lauren Blauvelt represents all the people who work day and night to get out the vote and all the voters who came out in support of Issue 1 in November 2023, the first time voters in a Republican-controlled state weighed in directly on the right to an abortion since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022. Ohio provided a blueprint for other states to follow. Within the patchwork of different state laws, clinics in Ohio remained a life-saving refuge for women from surrounding states that have banned abortions, especially for those who cannot use telemedical services like Aid Access because they are more than 13 weeks pregnant. Lauren, thank you for putting in all your hard work and commitment and for making this ballot initiative a success. This was about Lauren Blauvelt, and it was written by Rebecca Gompertz. Gompertz is founder and director of Women on Waves, Women on Web, and Aid Access. Democracy defender Donald Tusk. An article about Donald Tusk written by Ursula von der Leyen. Donald Tusk has answered two questions that could not be more topical. How can we beat populists? How can we stop the erosion of democracy and the rule of law? As a young student, he became an activist in the underground Solidarnosc social movement. When the Iron Curtain collapsed, he became one of the first leaders of the young Polish democracy. Throughout his public service as a part founder, as Prime Minister and then as President of the European Council, Tusk has never stopped believing in the supremacy of democracy. After former fellow campaigners against the communist regime in Poland took over the country's government in 2015 and began to undermine the rule of law and Poland's ties in the European Union, he took on that challenge. In 2021, he once again became the leader of the party he had founded in 2001. And in 2023, he won back the government of his home country in a fair and democratic contest. Donald Tusk is a political marathon runner. He has taught us all that it is never too late and worthy every effort to stand up for our democracy. Donald Tusk, Democracy Defender, introduced to us by Ursula von der Leyen. Von der Leyen is the European Commission President. Next, we have Elise Stefanik, Ascendant Republican, by Charlotte Alter. Elise Stefanik is the highest-ranking woman in the House GOP, and since shedding her more moderate persona to fully embrace Donald Trump, is increasingly seen as a standard bearer for the party. First elected from upstate New York as the vanguard of the more bipartisan GOP, Stefanik 39 years old, now counts as one of Trump's most powerful allies in Congress, having spent the past 3 years supporting his efforts to overturn Joe Biden's winning, amplifying false claims about election irregularities, and saying she would have not certified the 2020 election results. She's now rumored to be on Trump's short list of potential VP candidates. More recently, Stefanik has become a leading force in the conservative push to investigate DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and antisemitism on college campuses. Her pointed questioning of university presidents at congressional hearing contributed to the resignation of the president of the University of Pennsylvania and kickstarted a pressure campaign that resulted in the resignation of the president of Harvard University, her own alma mater. Elise Stefanik, introduced by Charlotte Alter. Alter is a Time Magazine senior correspondent. We move on to Rachel Goldberg Polin, a voice for hostage families, introduced by Time Magazine staff writer Yasmin Serhan. Bring them home now. This has been Israeli public's rallying cry since October 7th, when Hamas militants killed some 1,200 people and took 240 more hostage into Gaza. For Rachel Goldberg Polin, the call is personal. Her 23-year-old son, Hirsch Goldberg Polin, is counted among the Israelis still being held captive. In hopes of seeing him again, Goldberg Polin has become one of the most visible advocates for Israeli hostages and their families. She has met with dozens of world leaders, including President Biden. Her son, like Goldberg Polin and her husband, is a dual American-Israeli citizen. She has addressed the UN in New York City and Geneva. She has even had an audience with the Pope. Hirsch was wounded on October 7th, and every day that passes without news extends that the seemingly interminable limbo that hers and so many other Israeli families now find themselves in. But Goldberg Polin hasn't given up. Hope is mandatory, she said in a recent interview. I believe it, and I have to believe it, that he will come back to us. Yasmin Serhan, as I mentioned, is a Time staff writer, and she has introduced us with Rachel Goldberg Polin. The next on the list, and the last one for today's show, is William Lai, Taiwan's president-elect. Lai Ching-te, or William Lai, as he will be known throughout the world, will take office as Taiwan's next president in May. A coal miner's son who prizes problem-solving and trust. Lai is also a Harvard-trained public health expert, but the health of the island's 23 million inhabitants is just one part of a much larger task that he is inheriting, ensuring his government's very survival amid China's amped-up campaign to reclaim the nascent democracy. Former leader Chiang Kai-shek's rigid legacy is no more. Taiwan's energetic civil society is flourishing. Trade is booming, providing more than half the world's critical chips. Yet with tensions rising with Beijing, its risk profile couldn't be higher. For a politician who has garnered only 40% in an unprecedented multi-party election, this feels like Atlas shouldering the world. But less mythological will be his choices and their impact on a world on edge, to say nothing of the future of democracy in Asia. This is about William Lai, Taiwan's president-elect, introduced to us by John Huntsman Jr. Huntsman, a Republican, is a former governor of Utah and a former U.S. ambassador to China. With this is Asa Deshmukh signing off from this week's Time Magazine show. Until next week, goodbye.